This is Matthew again with Modern Fable, a storytelling podcast with a point. Did you ever have those moments growing up when you got hurt or you fell or you got into a little bit of trouble and your parents this time didn't actually come to help you? They seemed to want to teach you a lesson. Well, during my childhood, there was a lot of moments where the phrase, just, you know, walk it off, you know, rub some dirt in it, and you'll be fine. Were used to illustrate a point where I was supposed to help myself now and kind of get up off on my own. For a young kid, those are really hard words to hear. But I mean, what else is there to do? You can either sit there and cry or get yourself up off the ground on your own. I think when we're older, we understand where our parents were coming from. These types of lessons are very important and end up doing us very well. It's that type of struggle that we suffer through as a child that allows us to grow as a person. The only problem is as a child, we don't have the grand perspective that an adult does. And a lot of the time we fight and we really resist these types of changes and these types of lessons. And this is what this episode's about. It's called Rub Some Dirt in It. The first story I wanted to start with was almost a calling card when I was younger, something that followed me for a long time and I kept to it. I was very stubborn about this, and this was the fact that I was a very, very picky eater. So my mom and dad would always have to take certain ingredients out of meals. They would always have to find very common foods that I would like, and always when going to restaurants, make a point of saying, oh, he doesn't like anything except for plain pasta with a little bit of butter and Parmesan. I really hated every ingredient that was new. I would fight it. Not because of any logical reason. I would always just think it was gross and trying new things was weird. And all these kinds of vegetables and fruits that my mom would love to bring into the house and try to mix into meals, I would resist and go, it's disgusting. It's gross. I don't like it. I would try the minuscule amount and throw my tongue out and scream, this is gross. Why did you put this in the food? Given it was a bit dramatic and I was very young at the time when this kind of started out, but my mom came up with a solution to this problem. She would just make meals. Well, meals that she would want to make. And so what ended up happening is we'd have this great, grandiose meal. It looks delicious, and I would love to this day. But I wouldn't want to eat it. And my mom's like, well, if you don't want to eat it, that's all we have. We don't have anything else you can make. I can try to make it a little bit more simple. I can try to keep ingredients out of it. But if you don't want it, you're kind of out of luck. I loved food back then, much the same as I do now. But the prospect of me starving for the evening was just insane. I would demand that we have something simpler or something easier. But my mom would always go, you know, we don't really have it in the house. I can't make it. I already made this meal. It would be a waste of food, so I'm not going to make it. So I would have to sit there staring this food, this weird, strange food in the face, and hope that my hunger does not rise to the point where I feel starved. My goal was to really fight the hunger back and just stare at it and make her feel bad enough that she's going to have to make me something. But it just never happened. Eventually, I would break down and I'd take my fork in my hand and jam it into the food in this way to represent how disgusted I was with it. Take a small forkful and put it into my mouth and chew it with this kind of obnoxious chew that is like, this is the most disgusting thing ever. And, you know, it wasn't that bad. So, you know, I take another small bite, and what do you know, my plate's empty, and I've now found a new meal that I actually love. But, you know, I kept fighting it for a long time. Next meal would come up. Oh, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. How can you put this in front of me? My mom's like, well, it's the only thing we have in the house. It's the only thing I've made. So, unfortunately, you're going to have to eat it or you're going to have to starve. And the whole process would start from top to bottom. I'd resist it, and then I'd try it, and then I ended up enjoying it. There's some things, obviously, that I don't like. I don't have a preference for tomatoes. I try those every year just to make sure. But it's this thing where I was very hesitant to try. And eventually, I just got used to it. My mom would come up with some weird concoction of a dish. She would go on these trends where she would cook Indian food, or she cooked Chinese food, or she would buy these ingredients and she'd see a movie. And so she wanted to cook Italian food all week. And I just had to go along with it. And I ended up enjoying that. I find going out, trying new things, trying new foods is really great. But without those experiences of me struggling each and every day in front of the table, in front of these dishes, I wouldn't have gained that kind of experience and gained that kind of exposure. But I just had to tough it out and really struggle with it. But that was kind of the lessons that I learned from my parents. My dad, namely, when it got really cold, he was kind of a stickler for turning on the air or turning on the heat or turning on the air conditioning. And so what ended up happening is that my sister and I would be freezing, even though it wasn't really that cold. And he goes, "You don't understand what's cold. I had to go up and back in the snow. I lived in New England. This California weather is nothing compared to that. So you don't understand." And so my sister and I, obviously having no context really for what his temperature was like in his childhood, we just kind of pass it off. Now, does that make us more hardy humans? I don't know. I still think at some point that he could have turned on the air conditioning during summer or put the heater a little bit higher in the middle of winter. But it allowed my sister and I to be able to handle these kinds of situations where things are uncomfortable for a little while. And I'm not also saying that all the struggles that we went through were necessarily good for our health. Both my parents were very hospital averse, is the best way to put it. So whenever my sister and I would get sick, it's not that they didn't believe in doctors, it's just they believed in only going in kind of emergency situations. So my sister and I both have stories about both of us laying kind of almost bedridden with some sort of sickness and our parents kind of telling us that we just need to tough it out. Now, there's a situation in high school where both my parents somehow agreed that I wasn't sick enough to be staying in bed every day. It was towards the end of the semester. So I would go for about 2-3 periods before I was just wiped out and I feel like I was falling asleep in class and go to the nurse, and the nurse would call my mom or my dad and tell them that I would need to go home for the day. Obviously, I was sick. After we finally got to the weekend, my mom, I remember she brought me to the doctor. We finally got a visit and the doctor was like, "You should probably not going to be around a lot of people. You should take this round of antibiotics. You have this thing called RSV, I believe. And it's actually highly contagious. You shouldn't be in really kind of packed areas." And it was the most qualifying, this thing where I squeezed out a smile because my mom was finally wrong for kind of making me suffer through that. But at the end of the day, I have this story that I can laugh about, these kinds of experiences that I've really gone out and seen or been forced to kind of live through. And with these experiences comes a lot of lessons, these kinds of weird anecdotes that I will carry with me for the rest of my life. But the only way I would have had these experiences in the first place is this thing where my parents knew when to take a step back, really allow me to struggle, not kind of micromanage everything, not teach me or show me the lesson. They really wanted to teach me. The opposite is something that affected me for the rest of my life, is that when I was growing up, I had a huge problem with writing. And in writing, I would put off these reports. I just didn't enjoy it all that much. And I was always struggling with it. And so what would end up happening is, as it kind of got closer to the date, my mom or my dad would sit there and help me transcribe it. And my dad has a habit of kind of rewriting in his voice. It got very familiar to me because he writes in a very particular, very kind of profound way. But as a 13-year-old, Obviously, these aren't my words. My words aren't. To be able to broaden my horizons on the subject at hand, I would need to delve deeper into the subject, to which to research this project compelled me to do so, finding a deeper understanding and passion and respect for all that it is. My mom wasn't much better either, so she would end up just transcribing anything that I said and then going, oh, yeah, I need to fix this. All right, we got a project done, 2 pages, whatever. Okay, we're on our way. We're getting out of school. Given, I also kind of sprung it in on them at the last minute, so they really didn't have many options, but it really kind of impeded me from being able to write properly until I was a lot older. And even now, I practice it, and I really put a lot of effort into it. But not being able to do that early on and always kind of being dejected by the low scores that I would get just doing it on my own, there was no confidence. It didn't allow me to flounder. There was no kind of seedling that you're planting that you have to really succeed or fail. And if you don't do, you have to do one or the other instead of just kind of sticking it out in the middle. Before I get to the last story, I just wanted to take a quick break, take a second and to relax. This is obviously where something could go if I got sponsored by something like Blue Apron or some awesome place. But yeah, just take a second, move around, I guess. Thank you for listening to this podcast, by the way. So what ended up happening is that when I was growing up, I had a lot of autonomy on my own. My parents, though, were involved in what I was doing, gave me a lot of space to kind of foster my own likes and dislikes. I spent a lot of time playing video games and going outside, playing with my friends, all those kinds of imagination games. And that was something that was really key and something I remember very fondly from my childhood, is that I was allowed to do these types of things, foster my interests in their own way. So by the time I got into high school, I had a particular interest. They weren't necessarily very social. I ended up playing a lot of video games and watching a lot of anime, reading manga and books and all this other stuff by myself. It was a way to kind of survive in a split household, is that you do things that you can do consistently in both places. So what ended up happening is with all that autonomy, I kind of threw myself into these kinds of interests. I watched a huge amount of anime. I spent a lot of time playing video games with my friends, and ultimately I got tired of that, you know? And I think in some way my parents were kind of very hands-off. They knew about my interests, but were very much like, he's interested in what he's interested in. And perhaps that will kind of grow into something else. Yeah, I'm sure they were probably concerned that I didn't go out very much, but there's a part that ended up happening where I was sitting at home and I just became kind of fed up with everything that was going on. I wanted some sort of change. Sitting at home alone by myself all the time just wasn't fun. I knew both my mom and dad knew that getting out a little bit more was probably good for me, but they never pushed it. Now, I don't think it's because they didn't care. It was more that they knew that I would find and change in my own way. They allowed me to make these types of mistakes. And I was kind of put in an ultimatum. What do I do? Do I to kind of sit in my situation and just kind of wallow there? Do I, as a child, like, do I cry? And do I cry and cry and cry and hope someone fix it for me? Or do I have to fix it myself now? And with that kind of realization, I decided that at some point, enough was enough and I needed to change. So what I ended up doing is that I made it a point to hang out with friends more, expand my interests. I ended up to exercising a lot. I learned that I actually love running by just going out and doing it. And it wasn't something that would have done in the past, but I got so fed up that I had to. And my parents were very supportive in all my interests. Yeah, they used to make fun of the fact that, you know, I have a lot of nerdy interests, but they were always very supportive of me doing my own thing. Yeah, my mom would take me out and try to introduce me to a lot of different types of things. My dad would talk to me about life and politics, and we had our own interests there. But they never really stopped me from having these interests, unless it was starting to get and impede on my kind of lifestyle. So what ended up happening is that I got so fed up that I needed something to change, so I turned my attention to getting to know people a lot better. And within that interest, I found my love of people, my love of psychology. I found them endlessly fascinating, and that wouldn't have come about unless I was allowed to really struggle and kind of fall on my own. The other thing that ended up happening is that from staying inside so long, I had gained a bunch of weight, and I never really exercised, not for fun. I did soccer when I was younger, but I never thought of exercising as kind of a activity. Well, in high school, you know, you kind of start to become aware. And so what ended up happening is that I found a love of running. I went out and started running one day, and I haven't really stopped since. But I wouldn't have been able to do that if my parents had been very restrictive. They were always very fond of my interest. They were always kind of trying to get involved, kind of understand, but also letting me have my space. But the point is that it was hard. Like, going out and talking to people, I was a very awkward person as it is. And if you kind of shut yourself off for a while and kind of only interact with certain types of groups of people, when you kind of see the light of day, you don't really have much to talk about. I had anime and video games, and yeah, some people enjoy that stuff, but I really had to learn other interests. And I found learning and enjoying and talking with people about pretty much anything as something very enjoyable. But I had to struggle through that. I mean, I'm an awkward person sometimes in conversations, and I've gotten a lot better just because I had to. If I wanted to be able to interact, I had to get better. And things with exercise, I didn't see the benefit of exercise until I was very much in it. Like, as a child, you don't think of, oh, I need to go out and exercise. It's more so like, oh, I'm just going to eat what I want and play when I want. And if I get fat, it's, you only kind of realize in your teen years, but what do you do about it? You don't feel particularly bad. You kind of live this way your whole life. And it was more so that when I started doing it, my parents would kind of make comments where it's like, oh, you're doing really well. Oh, you can run so far. Or they noticed, you know? And it's about letting people have their space and kind of struggling. I did struggle with running. I didn't have the right equipment for it. My mom went out and got my first pair of running shoes, and I loved those shoes for years. I also really wasn't accustomed to being sore all the time. Now it's a feeling of kind of accomplishment. It's like, yeah, I really kind of hit it hard when I was running. But before, it was just like, this is terrible. Why would anyone kind of put themselves through this? This is literally causing myself pain for a day or two. But it's about that kind of learning and enjoying it and it getting to that space where I really needed a change and really trying to find my own solution to the problem. With that, that's kind of what it is that you need to dust yourself off and start trying to walk in your own way. And you kind of come up on a decision when you fall. Do you try to cry and hope that someone helps you? Or do you kind of face the problem and realize that your pain's really not as bad as it could be, and that you really could just get up and continue going? Yeah, of course, there are problems that people need help in, but is crying really the solution? Or do we have to really struggle through it, realizing that sometimes pain is necessary for growth, that it's going to be painful to get to the really good stuff? And if we're going to cry about every time we scrape our knee, then we're really not going to get anywhere. We're not going to be able to see the great things on the other side of the path, because every time we hit a rock, we're going to stop. The takeaway from this podcast is that sometimes we need to kind of scrape our knee and get up on our own. That's a much more important lesson than being helped every time we hurt ourselves. Now imagine a friend comes up to you and asks you for help on their homework. If you give them all the answers, it's not really helping them. You're just solving a problem. And it kills me to say this, but sometimes when people are sad or they're angry and all this other stuff, it's not about kind of rushing to solve the problem at hand. It's about allowing them the space to solve their own problem. Yeah, if they ask for help, of course, I would always be the first one to help. But what I realized over a course of kind of many years is that sometimes it's about going, I will support you in any way, shape, or form, but you got to do this on your own. And yeah, you can kind of help here and help there, but the majority of the effort needs to be done by the person who's going through it. Now, is that what my parents were thinking about when they would tell me, walk it off or, you know, rub some dirt in it? Probably not. They probably just wanted me to stop complaining, but ultimately it made me a better person, you know, because I was able to really find my own way and struggle and learn how to struggle. So if you're struggling out there, of course, ask for help if you need help, but also realize that as long as you're open to it, struggling will make you stronger. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. This is the third of my tests and third of my kind of preview podcasts. And I hope that over the course of all these podcasts and doing this more frequently, I'm going to become a better storyteller, but also bring more people in. This is always my intention. And with these podcasts that I'm going to be putting out at the beginning, it's just a sample of what could be and how I kind of want to tell stories. Now, I might not necessarily be the best storyteller. I need to practice. But if you are interested in telling a story, or if you have something you want to say, just let me know. I want to work with as many people as possible. And if you like what's happening here, please support it in any way, shape, or form. This is something that I really want to keep continuing on. I don't know what kind of schedule I'll have for it, but it's something that I feel like is important and I'm going to become more passionate about as time goes on. So thank you for listening again, and I hope you have a great week.